listening live.
Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, April 16th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, Kentucky football's blue-white scrimmage. Pomp and circumstance signifying nothing. We will give you an oral history of last Friday's Maker's Mark bottle signing, an event for the ages. There was a golf tournament over the weekend. The NBA playoffs have begun. Two bottom line whipping boys snap out of their slumps at Major League Baseball. One college basketball coach somehow gets his job back. And we have a Mac Daddy Stogie baseball pick for Wednesday night. So let's go.
They're off.
She's Asian, she's loose, and she's fat. I hit the trifecta.
If you've mastered the art of win, place, and show wagers, let's try a trifecta.
Creating a trifecta of joint smoking power.
Friday night, Lexington, Kentucky. There was a football game at Commonwealth Stadium, a.k.a. Kroger Field, or as my people would call it, Kroger's Field. The blue-white game, the spring inter-squad scrimmage. By the way, can you tell me anything that has ever happened in a blue-white game? No, you can't. Neither can I. That's why this game was a waste of time to go to, especially on a Friday night in Lexington, Kentucky. And apparently everybody else in this town agrees with me because the attendance was sparse at best. The headline in this game was touchdown Terry Wilson. I'm sorry. We have the copyright patent on touchback Terry Wilson. Because he's good enough to get your team to midfield and your punter can reach the end zone for a touchback. Terry Wilson was apparently unbelievably good in this game, and God bless him. He'll have to be unbelievably good this year to improve on being the 13th best quarterback in the SEC out of 14 from 2018. The other headline in this game was Gunner, spelled Gunnar, Hoke, lining up the first and second team defenses and putting up stats that Dan Fouts in his heyday would have been happy with. But that did not quell the rumors and the buzz that he's transferring. It seems to be a foregone conclusion that Gunner slash Gunnar Hoke will be transferring, and who can blame him? If I'm a 20-year-old kid and I could go to another school and actually play and get all the girls I want, if you ask us when we're 20 years old, yeah, I'd go too. Because if you're not going to play last year when touchback Terry Wilson was as bad as he was sometimes, you're never going to get to play. So go now and sit no more, Gunner Hoke. You deserve it. Whether you go 1AA or non-Power 5, the MAC or the Sun Belt or something like that, live long and prosper, Gunner Hoke. I think you got a raw deal by not getting a chance over touchback Terry Wilson, but that's just us. So here's the question that Big Blue Nation has to take from spring football at Kentucky. Can Terry Wilson score enough points this year now that your defense is definitely not going to be as good as they were last year, especially after the best defensive player in the nation leaves town? Do you really trust Terry Wilson to score enough points this year to win football games? And if he can't do it, who do you turn to if something happens to him or he's just simply unproductive, which he was last year? You've got nobody to turn to unless you go out to the intramural fields and find somebody. Or go find Scott Bakula from that old movie Unnecessary Roughness from the early 90s with Sinbad. Maybe there's some farmer in his late 30s who's sitting down on a farm in eastern Kentucky who could come in and play. Otherwise, it's touchback Terry Wilson or nothing. And from what I saw out of touchback Terry Wilson last year, sometimes nothing might be a little better. So good luck, Big Blue Nation. Something tells me in a few months that 10-3 dream season from last year, a season which you actually only went 6-7 against the point spread. Something tells me that dream season will be a distant memory. Good luck.
We don't know where Hayes played last year, but I'm sure he did a hell of a job.
If it's springtime in Lexington, Kentucky, that means there's a Maker's Mark bottle out, aka a money grab. And there's a new bottle with Kentucky basketball something on it. And God bless my mother. She's unable to get out of the house, so what does she do a couple of weeks ago on Friday? She makes me go all around town and get as many of those bottles as I can, and I got a few. And then she makes me sign up to get them signed so that she can have a collector's item or actually sell it for a huge profit. I'm not saying she did one or the other, so I did that. But that also means that on that Friday where you have to get the bottles signed, you have to go at 7 o'clock in the morning with thousands of other idiots who are there actually for the fun of it, and get these bottles signed. by coaches and players. So I wake my happy butt up at 6 o'clock on Friday morning. By the way, at 6 o'clock on Friday morning, I'm already 1,000 people deep in that line from people who have crazily slept there all night long. So I jump in line at 7 o'clock. By the way, as I'm driving there, I heard on the radio that John Calipari is not going to be able to make it and that he'll have to come back and do it again sometime. And believe me, it took everything I had to keep driving and not turn around and go home and go back to sleep. At times like that, the only thing you think of is my poor mother laying in bed wondering why her mean, evil son has turned her back on this poor mom. In her time of need, she only wanted one more wish in life. So of course I gotta go to Keeneland and get this thing signed. So I get in line at 7 o'clock. I'm standing outside. I try to make small talk with the people in front of me. They're not having any of it. I try to make small talk with the people behind me. They're not having any of it. I'm serious. Those were the meanest people I've ever seen in my life. You try to be nice to people. You say good morning. And you try to relate to them the fact that we all have to stand in this line for stupid reasons. They weren't having any of it. I was the evil empire. So what do? I just put on my headphones and just act like I don't talk to anybody for hours. Oh, by the way, here comes the rain again. Falling on my head like a memory. Eurythmics, early 80s. I digress. And everybody's got an umbrella except me. So I'm sitting there with my duffel bag with the bottles in it, making sure that doesn't get wet, while everybody around me has an umbrella, and I'm sitting there thinking, eventually one of these people will ask if I could duck under when the rain got really hard for a couple of minutes. No, they didn't. So now I'm soaking wet. At least I wore a hat, but I'm soaking wet to the point where people standing under the ledge far away are pointing at me and laughing and telling me to stay strong, which I said, yes, sir. And then, of course, when we get inside and my clothes are still soaking wet, the woman that's standing in front of me starts opening the windows as we move in line around the back wall where the windows of the building are so that she can feel a breeze. Oh, by the way, I'm soaking wet and now cold. And you want to open the window? Thank you so much for being self-aware and understanding your surroundings. Unbelievable. Then I hear the guy behind me say, hey, mentioned to somebody else in line, hey, I'll watch your stuff if you need to go to the bathroom, and I'll save your place in line. And then I turned to the same guy and said, hey, I might need to take you up on that offer soon. And the guy said, you're on your own, dude. The bathroom's right over there. I'm not kidding, ladies and gentlemen. I swear to God, I'm not kidding. So I'm sitting there, and I get there at 7 o'clock. Now it's 11 o'clock, okay? And I'm still in this line. Now, there are probably a few hundred people behind me, but there have been a few thousand in front of me. I'm moving along through the line, and I'm starting to wonder, why is this line taking so long? This is ridiculous. And then I see the biggest problem. The 2012 National Championship Trophy has been wheeled out and put on display, and everybody that reaches the front of the line has the option of taking a picture with said championship trophy. The same trophy that you've seen every player on that team grab, kiss, clutch, you name it. Lord knows that thing has been cleaned since the 2012 championship game night, but who cares? But everybody is jumping at the opportunity to take a picture with that trophy, which I think, and I'm sorry if I offend any of you who actually did this, I think is the stupidest thing known to mankind. Those of us in the back of the line, I'm sure that added an hour, hour and a half to our wait. I'm sure it did, but you don't care. Go get your picture with the championship trophy. Once-in-a-lifetime deal, huh? When I reached the front of the line, the workers there said, excuse me, sir, would you like to take a picture with the trophy? And you know what my response was? I didn't win it. I didn't earn it. I'm not going to touch it. And that's the truth. I didn't have anything to do with that, and neither did any person standing in that line. There was a guy who worked at ESPN who played in the National Hockey League for several years, almost 2 decades, because hockey players play forever. Ask Gordie Howe. He played like 57 years, I think. But there was an NHL player in the ESPN studios one day, and they brought the Stanley Cup into the studios, and I forgot his name, and honestly, I'm just too lazy to look this up because it doesn't really mean a whole lot. But they brought the trophy in, and this NHL former player who had played for almost 2 decades had never won the Stanley Cup. When they brought the trophy into the studios where he was, he walked out of the room. And then he asked someone, are they going to keep that trophy here all day? And when he found out the answer to that question was yes, he left the building, got in his car, and left for the day. And he came back the next day, and everybody's asking him, hey, where did you go? We needed you to be on television yesterday. He said, you brought the Stanley Cup in, and you can ask any NHL player. You can't be in the same room with the Stanley Cup unless your name's on it. And to be honest, that's kind of how I felt about that championship trophy. Not that I was a former player of any sort, but you didn't earn that trophy. The people who deserve to touch that trophy are the people that had a hand in winning it. The coaches, the players, whatever. If you weren't on that court, you shouldn't touch that trophy. But yet here comes every Tom, Dick, and Harry putting their grubby ass hands all over the trophy and smiling while the picture clicks on their phones. I'm sorry, it's a little disrespectful to the players and the coaches who earned that trophy. Now, I'm sure they didn't have a problem with it, but I'm sure that some of them might have. And I'm sure that some of them are thinking, man, I worked my tail off to win that trophy. And now these clown rednecks are acting like they won the trophy. One of the silliest things I ever saw. Now I understand being a fan and wanting your picture with the trophy. I get it. But don't be that. Don't stoop to that level. When I said I didn't want a picture with the trophy, the people who worked there, the Keeneland workers, looked at me like I was crazy. Because one of them told me, you're the first person in hours to not want a picture with the trophy. You're the first one I can remember in this line who didn't want a picture with the trophy. Unbelievable. So I got my bottle signed and I got out of there just before noon. So I was there about 5 hours, which isn't nearly as long as some of those people were there who camped out overnight and got out of there and were first in line. Do the math on that. By the way, if you're camping out in that place overnight, how much sleep did you really get? Did you really get a good night's sleep there? Probably not. But anyway, the bottom line to this is, not everybody in Big Blue Nation is friendly, especially when it's raining. And oh, by the way, if you're a fan and you see the trophy, act like you've been there before. The good news is, I get to do this all over again when John Calipari finds time in his busy schedule to come back and sign the bottles. To quote the great Bart Scott of the New York Jets, can't wait.
Top of the sixth, and rookie sensation Ricky Vaughn on the pitch now. You can close the book on Kellner.
Thank God.
In other college basketball news, LSU has a new coach. Well, he's the old coach. Same as the new coach. Will Wade is now the LSU coach all over again. Now, how did that happen? Doesn't the FBI have all the goods on him to almost send him to jail? They did a month ago. That's why he didn't coach in the NCAA tournament or the SEC tournament. But all of a sudden now, did the FBI lose their evidence on Will Wade? I guess so. He's the new coach at LSU. Wonderful. If Sean Miller can survive this and Will Wade can survive this, how come these assistant coaches are going to jail? If Will Wade coaches next season at LSU, I think as a society, we've just given up on cheating and just say, go ahead. Who cares anymore? Congratulations, Will Wade. You might be going to jail someday, but for now, you're back as head coach at LSU. More college basketball coaching news. Rick Barnes came out on Tuesday afternoon and said if UCLA had paid for his buyout at Tennessee, he'd be coaching the Bruins, not the Vols, today. Wow, how far have you fallen, UCLA, that you can't even buy out poor Rick Barnes' contract in Knoxville, Tennessee, to get the guy you want to be coach, and you had to settle for Mick Cronin? You get what you pay for in this world, ladies and gentlemen, and when you don't have to pay for a buyout for a guy like Mick Cronin, there's a reason why you don't have to pay for a buyout on a guy like Mick Cronin. Then again, I always say this about Rick Barnes. Recruiting-wise, no problem. He's a top 10 coach. Game-wise, did you see the game Tennessee lost to Purdue this year? Did you see that inbounds play where they threw two inbounds passes and then called a timeout at the end of regulation? That was a terrible coaching play. Who called that? That was idiotic. But that's typical Rick Barnes, a man who lost double-digit games with Kevin Durant, the best player in the world. Regardless of what you saw Monday night against the Clippers. Arguably the best player in the world right now, he lost double-digit games with him and three other NBA players on that roster. Rick Barnes can get him to school there, but he can't get the best players to win for him. They have to wait till the NBA to win. So UCLA had to settle for Mick Cronin. They're going to immediately regret that decision. But then again, you get what you pay for.
How much would it cost me if I was to rub up against your leg like a dog?
$70.
$70? Good Lord! Oh, How about I give you $4 and you give me a Scooby Snack?
The NBA, the big news this week, DeMarcus Cousins, a Big Blue Nation favorite for some reason. But if you look at his statistics, he was actually a better player than Anthony Davis was in his year at Kentucky. Google it, kids. DeMarcus Cousins now done for the playoffs with a torn quad in his leg. This guy can't buy a break. Tears his Achilles, finally comes back. Now he's with a playoff team, and now he won't be playing the rest of the playoffs. By the way, the Warriors, who lost on Monday night, that's no problem. They're still going to win the NBA. There's going to be a little bit of worry, a little bit of sweat here and there, but they're still going to win the NBA championship. You know why? Because even with this news of Cousins getting injured, the odds didn't change. Think about that. The NBA playoffs have begun. In other words, roll out the favorites, Golden State Warriors versus Milwaukee Bucks for the championship. You heard it here first. On Sunday, if you took all the favorites against the spread, you went 4-0. By the way, if you're taking all the unders against the spread of these NBA playoff games, you're 8-0. One thing that caught my eye in the NBA was that Luke Walton is now the coach of the Sacramento Kings, when 3 days ago he was the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. I always said you could find out how valuable you are in life by how long you're out of work when you get fired. Apparently Luke Walton is as valuable as anybody in the NBA. Why did the Sacramento Kings fire their own coach? They had the best record they had in 13 years. Oh yeah, their general manager is Vlade Divac, known as the biggest flopper in NBA history.
What's our record, Larry?
8-16. How'd we ever win 8?
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
Major League Baseball. The Reds had to play the Cardinals in Mexico over the weekend for some reason that we don't know. Somehow the Reds split those two games with the Cardinals in Mexico, but now they're off to LA to play the Dodgers, former home of Yasiel Puig. And the story came out Monday that a Dodgers beat writer said that, according to team sources, if Puig had halfway given a shit, excuse my language, I'm just reporting this, that he'd still be with the Dodgers. Well, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. We don't know for sure. All we know is that to start the season with the Reds, Yasiel Puig is hitting .163 with one home run and an OPS plus of 28, in which an average player has an OPS plus of 100. That's what happens when you go 7-43. The Reds will be back in action on Wednesday afternoon, a 3:10 start local time. Walker Buehler, who is from Lexington, will start for the Dodgers, 1-0, 8.25 ERA, but they've kind of babied him so far, spring training and early in the season. Walker Buehler last year, outstanding. Pitched 137 innings, went 8-5 with a 2.62 ERA and an 0.96 whip. Unbelievable. And he pitched game 163 last year, the game to get into the wild card game. And he pitched 6 2/3 innings against the Rockies, allowing one hit and no runs. I know the Lexington Herald Leader has that Kentucky Sportsman of the Year that our friend Mark Story tries to shove down your throat every year. The top three people in that were all associated with Kentucky football, but I'm sorry. For my money, Walker Buehler should have been second in that little award, using that term very loosely, behind Josh Allen for what he did on a much bigger stage. But I digress. Walker Buehler for the Dodgers on Wednesday. Sonny Gray for the Reds, 0-2 with a 2.03 ERA. A lot of people were singing his praises when he came over from the Yankees in the offseason. He did not pitch well his first games, and in the second game, he started terribly. But since then, he's been on fire. Do I think this will last? Well, 2.03 ERA, no. I think by the end of the year, he'll be in the fours easily. Advantage on Wednesday, Walker Buehler of the Dodgers. The biggest concern right now for the Reds, that bullpen, Raisel Iglesias on Monday night, lost for the third time this year. If he's your closer, quote unquote, it's tough to go out there with a 6.75 ERA and already 3 blown saves and act like you're a closer. Especially when you've got other guys in this bullpen, Michael Lorenzen, Amir Garrett, who've pitched very well so far. A tough luck loser, Luis Castillo, who's been as good as any pitcher in the National League so far. 1-1, but a 1.46 ERA in 24 2/3 innings, along with 32 strikeouts. We worried before the season started, who was going to get outs for this Reds team this year? Castillo has proven that last year's disappointment could be this year's surprise. Now, if the Tanner Roark's and the Anthony DeSclafani's of the world could join him. The Reds are a better team than they've shown so far. They're in last place in the National League Central, but they've outscored their opponents total on the year. That 3-game series against the Marlins last week surely helped with that. I'm certainly not calling them a playoff team, but I'm calling them a team that could, emphasis on could, finish 500. What's the reason for this resurgence? Eugenio Suarez is having a good year so far again, but on offense, there's really not a whole lot to offer so far, except the arrival of one Derek Dietrich, who in 31 at-bats has 4 home runs and 11 RBIs. A utility guy with the Marlins last year, he literally could play anywhere and everywhere. By the way, what is this team lacking? Have you been watching the Reds? Have you seen them in the outfield? Matt Kemp and Scott Schebler are a comedy of errors. Yasiel Puig sometimes looks like Pedro Serrano out there not wanting to hit birds. But if you piss him off, he'll throw it hard to third base. Otherwise, this team's outfield defense is a far cry from Billy Hamilton last year. The only problem with Billy Hamilton is that he could never get on base. And in the National League, that's a killer. Because when you played Hamilton last year, you basically were giving the other team 2 outs. The 8th place hitter was the pitcher, and the 9th place hitter was Billy Hamilton. Now that's an easy inning. Derek Dietrich was injured on Monday night, but he's been the big bright spot and the big surprise, especially offensively, for the Reds so far this year. Look for him to pile up at bats if he keeps this up, because you can't keep that guy on the bench. If you look at Dietrich's career stats, it's hard to figure out why the Marlins just said smell you later on this guy. Last year he hit .265 with 16 home runs and 45 RBI, 500 at bats. It wasn't like he was terrible, but then again, the Reds picked up Scooter Jeanette for nothing right before the season started a couple years ago. Well, look how that turned out. So the Reds are in last place right now. We don't like their chances on Wednesday afternoon either, but it's actually looking up a little. Don't get carried away. Let's see. We're looking over winning pitchers from the weekend. Let's see. David Price. Yeah. Justin Verlander. Okay. Madison Bumgarner. Good. Homer Bailey. What? What? Homer Bailey? Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Homer Bailey won for the second time in 22 starts in the last 2 years. This year, he's got 3 games started, 17 innings pitched, 5.29 ERA, an ERA plus of 85. A normal ERA plus is 100 for an average pitcher. But he's striking out 11.1 players per 9 innings, his career best. By the way, the Royals are only paying this guy $100,000 this year. The Dodgers are paying him $22.45 million. And they're paying $5 million next year, all just not to play for them. Congratulations, Homer Bailey. Your second win in 2 years at 23 starts. Times are looking up, baby. He'll retire with over $91 million, only in America.
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
And now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, smooth, Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver! Yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy. Until you called me.
It's Mac Daddy Stogie time. We call it the Mac Daddy Stogie because you will be able to light that victory cigar well before the game is over because we're guaranteeing a win. We gave you a winner last week, fading Nick Pavetta and the Phillies against the Nationals. You're welcome. We're going to give you another fade on Wednesday night. On Wednesday night, the Washington Nationals will host the San Francisco Giants, two teams floundering around the 500 mark. For the Giants, though, Jeff Samardzija will pitch, the former Notre Dame wide receiver turned major league pitcher. Good move by him because he's stolen several million dollars from teams. But this year, he's 1-0 with a 1.62 ERA facing Jeremy Hellickson of Washington, 1-0 with a 2.25 ERA. What's so special about this game? Jeff Samardzija. And this will allow us to teach a little lesson in baseball gambling. One of the things you look for when you're betting on a team to try to win a baseball game, starting pitcher, obviously. The old saying goes, momentum in baseball goes as far as the next day's starting pitcher. And there's a lot of truth to that. So anymore, if we are going with a matchup based on the starting pitchers, starting pitchers don't go 7-8 innings anymore. It's not like the good old days of baseball when I was growing up, and probably you were too. Starting pitchers went 7-8 innings, no problem. Now if you go 5-6 innings, whoa, that's a big deal. How many starting pitchers go more than 6 innings these days? Very few. So what do you do now if you're just betting on starting pitchers? You've got to depend on bullpens for 3 or 4 innings. Well, there's a lot that can happen if you involve a whole bunch of bullpen guys. So if you're betting on starting pitchers, it's good to just go first 5 innings now. Just go with the first 5 innings if you're going with pitchers. And that's what we're going with on Wednesday night. Jeff Samardzija, regardless of his 1.62 ERA on the year, since he joined the Giants, if you go against Samardzija, you've won 36, You've lost 25 and you've got 16 pushes. That's 59%, but that's an 18.2% on your investment. And if you just bet $1 against Samardzija every time in the first half of games, you're up $14.04. Those are numbers I like to hear. So do we love Jeremy Hellickson of the Nationals in this game? Meh, we hate Jeff Samardzija. That's why we're taking the Nationals in the first half. A strict fade on Jeff Samardzija. Take the Nationals in the first half of their game, the first five innings, of their game against San Francisco on Wednesday night. That, my friends, is your Mac Daddy Stogie of the Night. You can take that bad boy to the desert and smoke it.
Baby, you are so money and you don't even know it.
And that does it for the Wednesday, April 17th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. We're still working on guests. I'm going to have to do what I never thought I'd have to do, and that's contact some people that I grew up with that are in the media now, somehow, some way. God knows how they got the media. And burn every bridge so that we can get some guests on this show, because people have contacted us and say, hey, bring in more guests so you can make fun of them and insult them. Hey, your wish is my command. I have no shortage of insults for people in the media around here. So we'll work on that. And until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours.
Listen, good luck. Cash and tickets is what it's all about. So long, everybody.